Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does
Barack Obama nor I support redefining the Constitution.
Our limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my decision.
Smoke could be seen from blocks away. And protesters hurled trash cans and flash bombs at the Capitol. The bill is working intense partisan fighting.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Bob and Weave. Let's right off the gate, I should say, sorry there was no episode last week. I'm sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry.
We are having, and actually, I guess we could open up with discussing that summertime post sort of mid corona has been trying times. For us to make schedules work.
Yeah, expect really the summertime. It's not really the corona. It's the summertime.
Yeah, because kids are home and you can't just come over here while they're at school and stuff. So we get here late. I've got some projects that I'm working on right now. So moving forward.
Exciting projects, though.
Exciting project. I think so.
I'm excited for them.
Yeah.
I got nothing to do with them, but I'm excited for them.
But so what we're going to do is moving forward is we're going to say, I'm not going to say we're taking the rest of the summer off, but I'll say don't expect weekly episodes until after school gets back in session and things settle down a little bit.
So September-ish.
Yeah, September-ish. In the meantime, so what we're going to do is I think that we can squeeze in at least once a month or a couple between now and a few between now and then doing our live YouTube Zooms.
Mm-hmm.
Those were fun.
Those are fun.
Yep. And we get to interact with all of you guys.
I still think we're going to do the wife one. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. We can get together. But something that we can do like, you know, in an evening sometime.
Yeah.
Because it's just scheduling all this. For those of you guys who don't know our schedule, on Wednesdays is when we record a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Wednesdays is when we do the ads for Truth and Justice. We record the Truth and Justice follow-up. And then we record the Bob and Weave episodes. And it's just Zach can't get here early in the morning. So we end up going late. So. We'll still make some episodes throughout the rest of the summer, but they'll probably be something that we can do in the evenings, the live YouTube. Again, maybe we'll get our wives together, get some drinks.
That'd be a fun one.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue making content, but it'll be, just don't expect it every week. We'll keep up on social media and let you guys know when and where we're doing stuff, but it's just getting too tough to us. And speaking of that, so for this one, we were trying to come up with a topic and we were kind of drawing a blank. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about right now, but it's all just fucking depressing.
It is. It's so hard. And a lot of it, we want to get guests in here, and it's still a trying time to get guests.
Right. Yeah. Everybody, you know, a lot of people are just getting back to work, and they can't get off, and people don't want to be around other people because of the Rona.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're going to get back into that stuff. But, you know, we talked about, you know, some in the news right now, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's partner in crime, just got arrested.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, yeah. There's some interesting memes out there.
Of course.
Did you see the ones with Hillary Clinton saying it's with deep regret that I inform you that, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell has committed suicide?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh shit, that was tomorrow's text or tweet. I guess that's not really funny, but it's...
But yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
A lot of rich and famous people are probably sweating a little bit right now.
As they should be.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's something that needs to be researched further. We had the Joe D'Angelo, the Golden State Killer, just pled guilty finally. Mm-hmm. And there's a new series on HBO called I'll Be Gone in the Dark, based after, I always forget her name, Michelle McNamara.
That sounds right.
Michelle M., Patton Oswalt's wife,
mm-hmm.
Who wrote that book. That's really good. There's just a lot of stuff going on with all the protests and everything, but you can get plenty of that stuff. Just about anywhere right now, you can hardly avoid it. So we thought we'd do something a little more fun. So we reached out on the Bob and Wee podcast fan page on Facebook, and we asked people just to send us some questions. And we're going to spend, you know, about 30 minutes or so here today answering some of your questions.
And we've got actually quite a few. We got some that aren't questions because our listeners sometimes just like to get on us.
Are any of them talking about how wonderful and handsome I am?
You know, some of them are. Some of them are talking about how no more poop stories for Bob, you know, things like that.
I saw somebody ask a serious question that was, when am I going to let Zach get a word in edgewise?
Mm-hmm. Did you see my answer on there, on the fans page?
No, what'd you say?
It was just a picture of Peter Griffin. It said, no chance.
You know, I saw that and I had a whole bit planned, but I'm not going to do it. I was going to, every time you start talking to respond to that, I was going to interrupt you.
I like it.
So imagine how funny that would have been.
I like it. No, we have a good dynamic. I'm happy with it.
All right. So what do you got? You got some questions?
Yeah. So first question right here, Peyton Little asks, a little bit backstory on how we got into podcasting, the two of us.
Okay. Mine is it's pretty interesting. It was an accident.
Yeah. So Bob's, I'll just start because Bob's is way more interesting than mine. So we'll just get mine out of the way. I got into podcasting because I met Bob. And that's basically the end of my story.
I never really asked you what, I know when you started Made Us, I remember you talking to me and asking for some advice. And I was like, dude, bring it on. Be an NBI show. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know what the trigger was for you to want to do it.
My whole thought process was to help people, you know, understand that they're not the only ones going through something. Mm-hmm. You know, my story might not be the same as your story, but we all have a story. We all have something that made us who we are, whether we struggle with it or whether we're happy with it. But we all have a story that made us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the principle of the show and why I started that.
Yeah. Like I got that, you know, but like what made you decide you wanted to do it as a podcast?
Cause I really liked podcasts. You know, I mean, that was my biggest thing. And it's the, in my opinion, it was the easiest way to share these stories because podcasts don't have to be, they don't have to be edited. They don't have to be censored.
Right.
They can be raw. They can have the emotions. If you do them in short clips, you know, it just doesn't have the same vibe. Like you can't really share a story, you know, especially if anybody knows Bob can't share a story in 5 minutes. Like it won't happen. So you can't do a 5 minute clip and really dig into a story.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sit down and talk to somebody for an hour and have a conversation with them and really dig into a story, you can understand that person that much better.
Right.
And that was what I wanted to present to everybody, was to show everybody that everybody has a story. You know, you're not the only one going through this. And I thought it was my way to help people. Mm-hmm. You know, my thing is I don't want to stand by the wayside and let everything go. I want to be somebody that tries to help. Big or small, I want to try to help.
Right.
And I think this was my way of trying to help.
And, you know, podcasts is, which kind of, watch this transition. This is how I got my start, was the fact that it's easy to, podcasting is a great medium because you can, you can make and create what you want, and there's really very little expense to it. You know, it doesn't matter if people don't listen. So, you know, I started podcasting because for years at the fire department, we used to sit around the coffee table and we drink coffee, and, you know, and every shift change, we work 24-hour shifts, so shift changes at 8 in the morning at our department. And, you know, the crew coming in would come in 7:30, and we'd sit there for a half hour, and we'd all have coffee together and shoot the shit. And the conversation is just funny. There's a certain type of personality that gets drawn into the fire service. And we just had a lot of really fun. And for years, we were like, dude, we should be recording this. Like, this would be so funny. But if people ever got to listen to this. And then podcasts kind of became a thing. This was 2014. And I was like, well, we should make a podcast. And we're like, yeah, we could do that. And I'm like, cool. But no idea how to make a podcast. And for Christmas that year, my mother-in-law does she's really into Christmas, which is weird for me. Like, my family is too with the kids, but like the adults, we don't like buy stuff for adults for the most part, you know? And, but she does. And so she didn't know what to get me for Christmas that year. And so she gave me a $200 Amazon gift card, or just gave me $200, I think, which was weird as a grown man to get a, you know, from your mother-in-law, here's $200. So it's like, you know, I'm a grown up. So if I want something for $200, I'll just go buy it.
Yeah.
But it was nice. She gave it to me, and I started looking at this podcast thing, and I found out, and I end up on Amazon, and I'm like, oh, they got podcasting kits for $100. And then I found, you know, a little bit more, could get a couple other elements so that I could have multiple microphones, not just one microphone. And so for like $200, I bought some equipment, and then I went to the fire station, was like, okay, like I've got four mics. Who are three other people that want to make a podcast with me? because and all of a sudden everybody was shut down. So Mike was one of the firefighters, and Mike's like, I'm in. Our friend Ryan Luker was, and it was just the three of us. We're like, all right, well, come to my house on Saturday. Got on YouTube and looked up how to make a podcast, and we sat and just shot the shit, you know, which was like a lot of podcasts I like. Like at the time, Never Not Funny, Jimmy Pardo's podcast was one of my favorites. And that's all they do is just sit around and talk organic conversation. And it was good and it was funny. And we started getting some listeners. And then we started having guests on every week. You know, it was be three of us plus a guest, and got a little format. And it was just 100% for fun. And it was said it didn't cost anything other than that equipment. You could publish a podcast episode. And if nobody's listening, there are platforms like we used Podomatic at the time where it doesn't cost anything to upload it. And if nobody listens, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
You know? And then when I really got into it was I was into the Serial podcast and decided I wanted to make a podcast where a bunch of people could all share ideas and investigate the case because there wasn't enough. I mean, I felt like I had unanswered questions. So I started the Serial Dynasty, same concept. It was like, well, I got the stuff sitting in my basement, so I might as well try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I made this little podcast and it kind of blew up, got a couple powerful retweets, and then went from being really popular to like, oh, I got to get this out every week because there's 20,000 people waiting on it. And then there's 50,000, and then there's 200,000 people waiting on it.
Mm.
And then, eventually that I got made an offer that paid about the same as I was making at the fire department. And I didn't really like my job anymore as a fire chief and said, fuck it, I'm taking a leap.
Yeah.
And been doing it for the last 5 years.
So in this, one of the follow-ups in this is she asked how Mike got involved.
Well, that's how. It was off duty. Yeah. He was one of my firefighters, and he was one of two guys that said, yeah, I'll come to your house on Saturday and make a podcast.
Yeah. And how did he get pulled into Truth and Justice?
So it was interesting. So Mike was, he was just a co-host on the podcasts, which was a great dynamic, the two of us, with me being so overpowering and Mike being a little quieter, but Mike's great with a zinger, and he just, the timing's good for a comedy podcast. But then, and at that time I was editing all my own stuff. And then, I talked to him once I was doing Truth and Justice full time. I was like, if this gets much bigger, I could, incorporate, make this a real business and maybe I could hire you to come in and work for me. You could learn how to edit. And he's like, I'd love to do that. So then I started teaching him how to edit. He started editing off duty for us. So I didn't have to do that anymore because I was busy with just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I quit my job January 1st, 2015 or 2016. And then by the end of that summer, I was like, dude, I need help. If I bring somebody else on, that's where the follow-ups came from. I can do a second episode. You can host those. You can do the editing, help me with some of this administrative work because things were piling up. And he was working at the time at the Cook Nuclear Plant on the fire brigade until October 1st of that year or September 1st, I think it was. I went through the paperwork and got incorporated, and then Mike stepped in and started editing. So it's funny. So us doing this professionally, neither he or I had any experience. And Mike, I think, is probably, if not the best, one of the best editors in the business.
I 100% agree.
And he's super duper fast. I mean, he makes us sound great when we don't sound great. He's really, really good at his job. And that was all self-taught. Like, I taught him how to do the basics of editing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took that and just went crazy with it. And now, like, he's, people are hiring him to edit podcasts all over the place. So
yeah, that's awesome.
It's kind of a weird transition.
Yeah, didn't he pick up like not this is outside ball, but like didn't a major platform ask him to do some work for them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Especially for just being self-taught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So next question, I'm going to jump around a little bit. Erica Cantor asked, if we had one alcoholic drink to drink for the rest of our lives, what would it be? And be specific. So if it's beer, like a certain type. And she says she knows your answer, but we're just going to let it go.
Well, I don't know my answer because that's tough. So only one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you guys see me drinking Busch Light and stuff a lot on here, but and I do love it, but it's all different. It depends on the circumstance for me. Like I love a glass of good bourbon,
yeah,
but I wouldn't want that to be my drink all the time. I don't want to sit at a barbecue and drink bourbon. And I love some good IPAs and micro brews, but sometimes it's a hot day, you're out swinging a hammer or something. So probably as she predicted. I think if I had to pick only one, it would be Busch Light.
Yep, that's what she said.
Because
she called that shit.
It's the only drink that I drink that would work in all those scenarios. So I can I can be out, working in the yard, drinking it on a hot day, drinking a Busch Light, and it'll be refreshing. I could sit in here and make a podcast and drink a Busch Light. And even though maybe I would rather have bourbon, I definitely don't want the bourbon on the lawnmower.
Okay.
You know? So yeah, I think Busch Light for me.
I'm a vodka tonic.
Vodka tonics.
Vodka tonic. I really like Tito's. Doesn't necessarily have to be Tito's, but I really like Tito's.
Now, I know sometimes you mix it with cranberry, sometimes with lime, or so if it's forever, would it be just vodka and tonic?
Vodka tonic with lime.
Vodka tonic with lime.
With lime.
Every day, every occasion.
Yep, I can do that.
And I believe that because I think that's all I've ever seen you drink.
Yeah, occasionally I'll have like a vodka Sprite or a vodka cranberry.
But and I've seen you like drink an Oberon like once in a blue moon if there's nothing else there.
I'll drink beer, but I'm not a big beer guy.
Right.
Beer fills me up. I don't like that.
It does.
Like, I'm just not.
It filled me up when I was on my fishing trip with Mike and Quentin this weekend. I had to have my 15-year-old son drive us home.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say like vodka soda. I just don't like club soda. I just don't care for it. I like tonic water.
I used to drink vodka tonic when I was for underage drinking. Well, I don't know why.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
But I remember I used to order them a lot. And then I found out that vodka makes me mean.
Mm.
It's weird. Every time I would drink vodka. Because like when I was in college, like my freshman year of college, I was like getting into fights all the fucking time.
See, that's
time.
Weird because most people say whiskey. Whiskey makes you mean.
Mm, whiskey makes me happy.
Yeah.
Makes me laugh. Makes me talk a lot. So, and it's just weird. I don't know why that is, but it seemed like I finally figured out the common denominator was if I got drunk on vodka, somebody was going down. Usually I would get in a lot of fist fights, which is anybody, you guys listening and watching know me sort of. Zach knows me pretty intimately, and I'm not that guy. I'm not a fighter. Like, I don't want to, no way, but it was just like, it would just flip a switch and I got real aggressive.
Yeah. Kathy McElhaney asked what we think about Kanye running for president.
Is he really?
I don't know. He says he is. I don't really know if he is. Well,
I feel like there had to have been like paperwork.
Well, I'm sure
at
there
a certain
is.
Time.
Yeah.
In order to run. I saw that he says that he's running.
Mm-hmm. It's Kanye.
He say if he was going to run as a Democrat or Republican?
I haven't seen. I don't know. I can't stand Kanye West.
Because he's like buddy-buddy with Trump.
But how much of that is a ploy? That's what I want to know.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. But, like, would he, you know what would fuck him up is if he did run and he ran as a Democrat, even though if he doesn't believe, that wouldn't work. It's too late for the primary. I say because that would siphon a ton of votes away from Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he ran as an independent leaning, whatever. Actually, if he just ran as an independent, I bet it would.
Yeah.
You know, because he would. I mean, let's face it, neither of our two candidates, again, are great choices.
Speaking of that, is one, if we can get around to it, I wouldn't mind doing another political candidate episode and do Joe Jorgensen.
I get a bunch of emails from him, but I don't know who he is.
It's a female, first of all.
I don't know who she is. I feel like we've had this exact discussion.
Yeah. She is the, she's the independent that's running. She's the libertarian.
Okay. Yeah. I'm totally down for that because I can't.
My favorite meme that I've seen of her so far says she's just like your mom, except she's cool with porn and pot.
I like it. I'm not a porn guy, but I'm a pot
guy.
But
still.
I'm not a pot guy either, actually, but I support pot. I support the smoking of pot. Yeah, that would be, I just hope, dude, I so badly want an independent to run.
Oh, me too.
And win.
Me too.
And just flip this whole fucking country on its head right now because I'm so disgusted. So I don't want to talk about any of this because it's like, through this crisis, like Trump has got a point where like, I can't even, you might have a few policies I like, but I cannot support you. And then Biden, I've never liked the stuff he's done. And then watching, like, I kind of feel bad for him. I feel like, I think he obviously has something going on.
Yeah. I don't know that I say I feel bad for him, but yeah, he's not all there. I don't think.
Well, what I mean by that is it's pretty clear. I mean, and he's very protected and, you know, he only speaks to liberal friendly media outlets and things like that. And it's like, even with them kind of protecting him, he's like, he can't piece two sentences together. He can't string a thought together. And so I feel like Joe needs to, I think Joe Biden is a decent guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't know him. But it's like he, I feel like he has like he's having some issues, some medical issues that need to be treated. And he probably needs to go ahead and retire and get well.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's being puppeted around almost, is what I, you know, as far as like the, you know, the DNC is like, no, if you drop right now, we're screwed. You can't do that. And so that he's being, I feel like he's kind of being pushed to continue the race when he shouldn't be in the race at all.
No, I agree. And I honestly, I think Joe Jorgensen is going to get a lot more votes than most independents. I don't think she'll win, but I think she's going to get a lot more votes than
past. You never know, man.
Just because I think everybody's so fed up with both parties.
Yeah. Like, you never know in this climate right now. And I think people are finally, I mean, there's certainly still the diehard Republicans and the diehard Democrats that could never see any fault in their own parties. But I think that there's a big, vast majority. You know, I was really enlightened by when Jordan was here, Jordan Geiger was here, and he was talking about how, like, you know, he's part of Black Lives Matter. He's an organizer. Obviously, he's an African-American individual himself. And him and, remember, Kat, who was off camera or was off camera and off microphone, were both like, we're fed up with the Democrats. Like,
yeah.
And it's not that they're saying, we think the Republicans are better. It's just like, I feel his pain in our discussions we had off the air later when he's just like, it's frustrating. Like, feel, you know, as a person of color, it feels like he has nowhere to go.
Yeah, I think he said it in the podcast. He literally said that one of Trump's biggest selling points to him was when he said, what have the Democrats done for you lately?
Right, yeah. But at the same token, I don't think the Republicans are doing anything for him. I mean,
no, there's not.
I mean, certainly there were some things, you know, unemployment went down and some other stuff with the economy, but during the Trump years, but I mean, I don't think either party's doing anything for anyone, specifically not them.
It's a mess.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. I would like to look into her, but that's what I just keep hoping is like, God, no one ever in a million years thought Trump would run that election, would win that election. What if a powerful independent, not even a libertarian or anything, but just, I am just an independent. I have no party affiliation. I have no one that I am beholden to. Runs and then blows everybody away and wins the fucking election.
I hope so. I think that would be, it's what we need.
Yeah, I think it would be fucking awesome. Currently, really, I'm planning on writing in Steve Rinella.
I knew you were going to do that. You know what's funny? Looking through all these questions, we don't have a question from Kelly Zappas. You know,
no,
because we always say that we're going to skip her, but I would have read hers today, but she didn't write one in today.
Too bad, so, Kelly.
Yep, sorry, Kelly. Let's see. Becky Fancher asks if we have any hobbies or collections. Or do we have any hobbies we'd like to do but don't have time or money?
That's a good question.
I have too many hobbies. Well, actually, my hobbies just turn into obsessions, which is the problem.
Right.
Like, they turn into these huge, yeah, my wife will kill me someday because of all these, but.
My current
one is powerlifting.
Right.
And I just go all in. I buy shit. I get into it. I research. I watch documentaries.
Yeah, I know you watch a lot of YouTube on it because every time I go on, if I happen to be logged into the Bob and Weave YouTube channel, it's like, why is all this powerlifting shit on here?
Yep. That's my current obsession.
And you said you're thinking about going to a competition.
I've talked about it with my training partner several times. We've talked about it just to go do it because why not? I'm a very competitive person.
Hey, we did stand-up comedy. Why don't you go do a powerlifting
contest? I mean, my last obsession, which I'm slowly getting out of, was three-gun, was competitive three-gun. I'm shot professionally. I mean, that was, my, you know.
Are you getting out of it?
I'm not as into it as I was.
I know you had the issue with the range. Is that part of it, or are you just kind of like
that
over
was
it?
That was kind of the icing on the cake.
Yeah,
that was kind of the kick in the balls to end it for me. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to end it. I'm not going to be done shooting.
Right.
I just don't. I put so much time and effort into that that when that happened, I mean, it just really deflated everything I had.
Now you got to drive for an hour to go shoot.
More like two and a half hours to shoot.
Is it that far, that range?
Yeah. Well, no, the range from my house is an hour, but the range that we're affiliated with now is like 2.5 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, it's taken the wind out of my sails for sure. It's like the worst paying second job I've ever had in my entire life.
Right,
you know, it's a full-time job that you don't really
get paid for.
You get paid for, but not what you'd think you'd get paid for, you know. So it, I don't know, new hobby, new thing. Powerlifting is better for me.
Right.
Better for my my bank account as well.
It doesn't cost much to go throw weights around.
It doesn't cost much. Even when I buy shit, it's still better than what I was spending.
Yeah. I have hobbies that are bad for my bank account.
Yeah, I know.
They're bad. I've got little things like, I've always been an outdoorsman, hunter and fisherman.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of this, and I know all of our listeners saw this post. Yeah, your hobby of trying to get hunting and trying to get a feed plot for your deer was 2 hours of excruciating. I don't even know. We're just sweating to death.
The funniest. Yeah, let's tell that story. So, but the funniest thing was that picture I posted.
Uh-huh.
I've never laughed so hard as when I read through the comments. And the first one I see is from you that says, wow, that is an amazingly unflattering photo. And I felt like I still like such a like it wasn't like I was like, oh, Zach doesn't look. It was like literally it was a selfie with you guys in the background. I'm like, oh, I look pretty good there. Post didn't even look like a fucking narcissist.
I'm hunched over like a goddamn golem. Like.
And then I looked and I'm like, oh, God, it's really bad. So couldn't have been a worse angle.
So bad.
Shirt off, belly hanging out, the whole thing.
The video I got of Mike is pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll clip it down just to Mike. But the video of Mike is pretty funny, especially when he hits the rock and he's like, oh, yeah.
Right. So we have I have some property here and I have a food plot where I plant crops that the deer like to eat. And because it's dry this year, I ran an irrigation line down to it so I could water it. But it was just laying on the ground. And so last Wednesday when we were recording, mm-hmm. I stopped. I had to drop my lawnmowers broke. I dropped my lawnmower off for service. And on the way back, I was like, oh, I got the trailer. I'll grab a trencher. It should be. I've seen people use trenchers. Should be easy. I could trench a line real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, "Well, our trenchers come on trailers." I'm like, "Shit," because I have a trailer on my truck. And he's like, "Well, you could leave your trailer and go do this." And I'm like, "Ah, never mind. I don't want to do all that." And he's like, "Well, we have one. How deep? You guys only going 6 inches deep?" And he's like, "Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we've got one. It's not self propelled, but that one you can put on your trailer,
mm-hmm.
and it's cheaper." I'm like. Great. Let's do that. Terrible mistake.
Also, when I agreed to help, I thought we were going to the garden, not to the back of your property.
By the way, agreeing to, he volunteered. I didn't even ask him.
That's true. I did volunteer.
We got done recording and I had to get this thing in back to the place by like 5 o'clock. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go out and trench that line in. And Zach's like, well, you need a hand? I was like, I think I got it. He's like, oh, I'll stay and help you, like a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, cool, man. I appreciate it. But I was in my mind, I'm really thinking, what are you going to do? Stand there and walk behind me and lay the – but I was like, that mm-hmm. might be handy. I can make the trench and you can lay the pipe in behind me.
Yeah.
Turns out, if you ever need to rent a trencher, don't rent one that is not self-propelled. First of all, we had to go 350 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's 6 inches deep.
So the – over the length of a football field.
Right. So imagine a very heavy, very big chainsaw is what these things look mm-hmm. like. And you pull them backwards because they're spinning, like this. So and it's tipped down. And so you pull it backwards. So as it's the people on video see what I'm talking about.
So it's digging the direction away from you. So it's pulling against you and you're pulling it backwards.
Right. And so we start going, me thinking this is going to take 10 minutes and Zach's just going to lay the pipe in.
Mm-hmm.
I start going and it's like, oh my God. I think if my neighbors were listening, they'd be like, oh my God, my titties are bouncing. My titties. It's like, it's horrible. It's like, it's just shaking you. And so I got, 10 feet mm-hmm. and my forearms felt like they were going to rip off and my hands hurt. And so Zach steps in. I'm like, okay, well, tag team. And by that time, Mike wanders out there because he didn't feel like editing.
Yeah.
And so he's watching us and he's like, well, so it turned into the only way. And I think I'd still be out there if it weren't for there was three of us. With three of us, you could go for about 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
maybe get 10 feet, and then you would tap out to somebody else and they would go. And by the time it was your turn again, your forearms weren't on fire anymore and your back didn't hurt and your teeth weren't rattling out of your head and you'd start over again.
It was rough. Yeah. It took all three of us. It for sure took all three of us. It
took all three of us like a couple hours to get it all the way down there. So that was funny. But
I was sore as fuck too. That beat the hell out of me.
Me too. Mike said he was terribly sore.
I can imagine.
Because he doesn't lift weights or anything. He was just like, what the fuck?
And he's got no mass. You and I at least have a little bit of mass.
Right. It was so bad though. I'm so glad there's no videos of me actually running it because I felt like what I say when you were running it, it was like the truffle shuffle from Goonies.
Yeah.
it's like every part of your body that you didn't think you could possibly shake was shaking.
So back to the question, do you have any hobbies?
Oh yeah. So hunting and fishing has always been a thing. It's becoming more like this pandemic thing has made it, I've really got into like self-sustainability, like more so than ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I started like hunting things that I don't usually hunt. Like I started turkey hunting this year. I'm fishing a lot more. I'm constantly filling my freezer full of fishing fillets. So that isn't too big of a deal. There's elements of that. Like I like to tie flies and fly fish, which is a hobby that I just don't have the time for. I still have my fly tying stuff out there and every once in a while I'll tie up a fly, but But I've really gotten into, which I've never done before, Western hunts. So for any of you that care or are out west, you know, where we hunt, it's a very different kind of hunting in the Midwest than it is out west. You know, here, you know, there's lots of woods and crops, and you basically sit, you know, to hunt deer, which is the prime thing that I prefer to hunt the most. It's what fills my freezer the most. But you sit in a tree stand either with a bow and arrow or a shotgun and, you know, wait for the deer to come to you. When you go out west, you're hiking for miles and miles and miles and glassing up deer with binoculars and stalking them and shooting them from long ranges. Very, very different kind. I've never done it before. Always wanted to, and we decided for Mike's bachelor party, there are four of us that are going out to Wyoming to hunt antelope, and I have a mule deer tag. And so that has become a very expensive because it's a hobby, because there's so much stuff. I don't, you know, you have to have a pack. You got to have boots that you can walk for miles and miles and miles on. You got to have the right rifle and the right optics and all this stuff. So that, and I just ordered, it's supposed to be delivered tomorrow, a Yeti 160 cooler, which is a cooler, I think, about the size of this table.
Holy shit.
It's not really the size of the table, but it's fucking big.
Yeah.
It's 160. For those of you that don't know, Yeti, the numbers, that number is the number of cans of beer at a 2-to-1 ratio of beer to ice the cooler will hold. So a Yeti 160 will hold 160 cans of beer plus half that volume in ice is what a 160 means. But the reason for that is, the other thing is, you shoot one here, you haul the deer back into your garage. You hang it up, cool it off, skin it, and then butcher it. When you're hunting out west, you're 5 miles away from your truck. When you shoot it, you have to skin it in the field, quarter out the meat, put the meat into game bags, put the bags in your pack, and then hike it all the way back out, and then get it into a cooler that will stay cold. So I had to get a cooler that I have three tags. I have two antelope tags and an elk or a mule deer tag. And if you look at Yeti's website, they're different. The Yeti 160 says, will hold one full elk or 2 to 3 deer.
Nice.
On there. So that's what I have to fit it all in. But anyway, that's been my recent obsession, is fishing and out west hunting.
So Ashley Bridges asks, she wants to hear our worst dating story, and I'm going to skip mine. You don't have to tell yours. You can tell yours. I'm going to skip mine only because we're going to tell it on when we have our wives on, because my worst dating story is with my wife.
I'd have to think about, I haven't dated a lot.
But my worst dating story is with my wife.
And, right, yeah.
And we're going to tell that together.
Sure. Let me think just for a second. I feel like I've definitely had some horrific dating experience, but nothing I can think of offhand. I've only had brief moments when I wasn't married since I've been 20 years old.
Yeah.
To date. But if I think of one, I'll come back to it.
Anna asks if we have any tattoos that hold a special significance to us.
All of them.
All of them. See, I'm the opposite.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't. Let me see. Well, I mean, the recent work that I've had done in the last 5 years that you've done for me, all of it has meaning. I mean, I've designed, by design, I mean, I had the ideas and then had Zach turn them into art and put them on me. But like my sleeve on my left side is like an amalgam mesh of everything that's important to me. And then my sleeve on my right side is similar. It's just the other. So this is the rough side of the family from Germany. And this is the Robertson side of my family that's from Scotland, and got my love everyone, judge no one tattoo. And so they're all, unlike a lot of people that, you know, probably get a tattoo here and a tattoo there. And, you know, from here to here on both sides, I specifically designed because they were very meaningful to me.
And see, for me, I have a lot of tattoos and only a handful that have any meaning. So like I have flowers on my hand.
Right.
It's the Fijian national flower. That's where my wife and I went to our honeymoon, was in Fiji. Oh, that's
cool. I didn't know that.
So it's that signifies my wife. You know, that's a tattoo for my wife without being, you know, a tattoo that says Michelle. I have a tattoo in my inner arm that's a weaver bird, which is a bird from Africa, but my last name is Weaver.
Right.
And it's holding my son's birthstone. And then I have another weaver bird on my other shoulder that is holding my other son's birthstone. So again, tattoos for them without being like their name.
Right.
I'm real weird about names. Not that I don't like names. I think there's better ways to signify somebody than that.
Right.
And then I have a broken compass on my other hand, which kind of signifies that you don't need direction to find the path.
Oh, I didn't realize it was broken. I thought it just was like, oh, it is. It's like shattered.
Uh-huh.
I thought you just had half a compass on your hand.
No, it's just a broken. So yeah, it just signifies that you don't need that direction. You know, I've always been that person that's just kind of found my own path wherever I need to go. Even when people tell me that I don't, I shouldn't do that.
Sure.
You know, that this actually leads into one of our other questions. It talks about being self-employed and how we found that path into being self-employed.
Oh, well, I think I described mine pretty well.
Yeah. Well, and mine is the same. I mean, what I was talking about there is I always wanted to be a tattooer. It's mm-hmm. something I've, you know, my mother took me when she got her first tattoo. I was maybe 6 years old and I was fascinated by it. Now, at that time period, that's a whole different world. I mean, mm-hmm. that's not the time that you take
your mom's a biker.
My mom is something.
Right.
but that's a time period you don't take a child to a tattoo studio. You know, right. It's bikers, it's druggies. It's a whole different world than it is now.
Right.
But it fascinated me. And I always wanted to be a tattooer. And, you know, going through school, that's not exactly what the guidance counselors told you was the correct
career path. I would be shocked if there's a guidance counselor out there that's telling kids, you know what would be good for you?
Mm-hmm.
Be a tattoo artist.
Well, especially at our age. You know yeah. what I mean? Especially when we were in school. Now, maybe it's a little different, but I mean, especially when we were in school, that was not a thing.
Yeah.
So that was always my thing is I didn't need that. I don't know. I didn't feel like I needed the direction. I could choose my own path and get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. So basically, that's a short story.
That's a short story. But you had other businesses.
Those have all come during tattooing.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that you were like start because you did like t-shirts. Mm-hmm, or I
did. Yeah, we did Broken Key Apparel for a few years. Really, really took off. Did well. I did a whole episode on why I stopped doing that, but that all that stuff was really like during tattooing. I mean, I've always been a person that I'm like, I want to do something. Let's go. Like, we're gonna go right. full bore and do this.
That's awesome. And I've always been an entrepreneur. You know, When I dropped out of college, I had my own construction company, and then I worked for a construction company, and I left and started my own like big construction company back here. And then I got in the fire department. I did it part time, and then during that process, I started a business making cupcake stands. And mm-hmm. just you know, I've always just wanted to make my own way, and then this is where ultimately I landed 5 years ago,
which is awesome. You know, and our shirts were doing well. I mean, we were selling shirts all over the place. I mean, I would mm-hmm. ship shirts every day all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they were doing well. We just hit a rough patch and it got us. And
yep.
that's life sometimes. But I didn't, you know, we just kept trudging forward.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. So the last question we're going to talk about is, and it's from Josh Beachy. And he said this, that we've already talked about this in the first episode, was kind of our position on religion. Mm-hmm. But he kind of wanted a little bit of follow up, like a friendly talk about this and how it leads through our lives.
I'm trying to figure out how to without just repeating everything I said. I mean, mm-hmm. my faith is a big part of my life. You know, I am very much a Christian. I feel very strongly about my faith. I have strong feelings, but I don't have. I'm not drawn to what people have made my faith out to be,
mm-hmm.
meaning, well, in both cases, either people from the outside looking in saying, you're a Christian, so you're this, mm-hmm. because 9 times out of 10, I'm not that, whatever that thing is. But then also people that are consider themselves Christians or are Christians and what they think the faith looks like, and who's to say who's right or wrong. But there's a lot of that I look, I'm like, I'm not that either. You know, I'm somewhere between. You know, a good example is in not all, but in a lot of churches that I've attended. I've had pastors that would, especially when like gay marriage was starting to become legal,
mm-hmm.
and they'd harp on the devil's taking over our country and this is a sin, and they would harp on it over and over and over again. And I look at that issue. Even then, there was my more conservative days before I became, you know, more enlightened, as I like to say, over the years. But even then, it's like, I don't think that's what we're supposed to be doing. Like, sure, can you pick out verses of the Bible that suggest that's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's things you can find a verse of the Bible that say cutting your hair is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different things. But
well, I think in the same area of the Bible, they say premarital sex is wrong.
Right.
And that's, you know, people are doing that all the time too.
Right. Yeah. And so, and there's a million things like that. But for me, it's like, I don't know. I'm like, I read the Bible and I pray a lot. And I feel like the way I feel God speaks to me is through love. Like, I feel like, whether that's right or wrong, it's not even close to our place to judge it. But I know that we're supposed to love everybody
mm-hmm.
and not to judge anyone. And so there was always things like that. Like I'm a proponent of gay marriage. And if that means I'm going to rot in hell, I hope that's not true, but I don't think that for me, I don't believe that God is looking down on me going, "Oh, you screwed up. I saw you voted yes for gay marriage, and so you don't get in." Mm-hmm. That's not my God. That's I don't believe that that is. So when I say I'm a Christian, that's what I mean. I'm a very outside the box. Same thing with similar to politics, mm-hmm. where I don't conform to anyone's because someone says I'm supposed to think a certain way doesn't mean I'm going to think that way. Mm-hmm. And I don't think like Republicans. I don't think like Democrats. And as far as Christianity goes, like I have my faith and I have my beliefs, but I'm just because you say this is how I'm supposed to do it. I also have very strange, this is something I don't talk about often at all because it can be very controversial amongst Christians, but I also don't think that the Old Testament of the Bible, the New Testament is taken out of context all the time. You know, people will take a verse and be like, that means, I mentioned in 2 Corinthians, it says you're not supposed to, a woman's not supposed to cut her hair. Mm-hmm. And there's churches out there that won't let their women cut their hair because of that verse. And it's taken out of context, like in that the book of 2 Corinthians was literally a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a specific church in Corinth about things they were doing there. Hmm. You know, so like it's not like, thou shalt never cut your hair. He's like, whatever's going on there,
yeah,
y'all need to stop doing that. It was what you know.
Yeah.
But I, for me, this is, again, this is extremely controversial. There's probably not a lot of people like me that 100% believe in our faith, believe in God, that I don't believe the Old Testament. And not that I don't believe it, I just don't think that it's accurate. I don't think all of it was intended to be literal. And I think that a lot of it that maybe was intended to be literal were stories, mm-hmm. you know, the Jonah and the giant fish and the New Testament, everything that's in there, these are things that were documented in history. There was a man named Jesus. There was a gathering on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. There was a conversion of Jews to Christianity at that time. There was a man named Peter that led the charge. There was like, these are things that actually happened. You can get outside of the Bible. They happen in history. Mm-hmm. Old Testament are like stories that were written about things that happened millennia ago. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like somebody sat down and so it's like, so the story of Noah's Ark, you know, so somebody, like there was a story about this that was passed on from generation to generation to generation until someone wrote it down. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it makes me any less of a Christian to say that I don't think that's literal.
Yeah.
I don't think that happened.
You know, I think you might be one of the few, and I'm gonna say, maybe I'm speaking for you, that believes in science as well. You know, there's so many religious people that, I don't want to say don't believe in science, but they pick and choose what they want to believe.
Well, the thing is, I don't think you have to draw a line in this. It's just like everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, so like for example, evolution,
yeah.
Right? So it's like, well, if you're a Christian, you can't believe in evolution. Mm-hmm. If you believe in evolution, you can't be a Christian. I believe in evolution. I don't necessarily believe in evolution in the way that, you know, there's missing links in evolution. That's a whole other topic we should mm-hmm. talk about sometime because I'm not super well educated into it. But I'll say this, and I can be 100% wrong. I don't believe that we evolved from an amoeba.
See, I do.
And it could be. Mm. I don't know.
But I see, again, we grew up in different households. I mean, I grew up in a science-based household.
Right.
That's why I am the way I am. That's why I say I'm agnostic. Like, I don't believe in religion. I don't have any faith. And it's not, I don't have any problem with anybody that does. It's just mm-hmm. not my, I've always grown up with science.
Right.
Like, science needs proof.
Right.
Where is proof? You know what I mean? And again, you said that with the Bible, it's written down history. That that's proof, but that's not also not proof of afterlife. That's not proof of, you know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah, yeah.
So I understand that there is historical accuracies there.
Right.
But at the same point, like I need that proof.
Right.
You know, and I agree with you. Actually, I tell people that a lot, that I think the Bible, if taken as a fictional story, as an uplifting, inspiring fictional story, mm-hmm. it's perfect. If that helps you, if that makes you a better person, you know what I mean? If you mm-hmm. can live through that and understand the stories there. But I agree with you that I think it's that some of those stories are fictional.
Right.
And that it's made to help uplift your morals, which is good.
Sure. Yeah. And like I said, you know, in my position on it is why I say the New Testament is because there are things that were like, there are things written down, documented through history that mm-hmm. the man Jesus said,
yeah,
you know, that said would happen, things that say would happen. And again, this is a long discussion, but I've had personal experiences in my faith that have shaken me to my core to the point where you'll never convince me that there isn't a God in heaven that, mm-hmm. you know, but like the old, as far like the evolution stuff, like I'm also a science guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so like I believe in evolution in you know, Darwin's theory, survival of the fittest, you know, mm-hmm. You know, so you got short guys and tall guys and the food's 6 foot high. Eventually the short guys die out. The tall guys are breeding because mm-hmm. they're the healthy ones. And then eventually there are no more short guys. And, you know, you know, the fittest survive. I've never, and maybe it's just because I don't understand it, but I've never believed that this was just, you know, a single cell organism that split and then became the monkeys who became the Neanderthals that became the human. But what the fuck do I know?
You know, we're like, and somebody's going to correct me on this, but we're like one DNA strand away from being a banana. Like, we share like a DNA with bananas.
Do we have to take your word for it?
Yeah.
I have no
idea. You have to look it up. It's like, it's real funny, but
yeah.
And I think my other thing with religion, and I've had somebody close in my life do this, which is really what started to push me off of religion, mm-hmm. was I watched them continue to be a horrible person over and over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
and then go to church on Sunday and everything was okay.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people that don't like religion or don't like going to church, the most common thing that I hear people say is they're hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. So like, go back to the example I was talking about with the gay marriage thing. Like, you'll have a hard time calling me a hypocrite because I have my beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share them with you. I'm proud of my beliefs, even when people think they're silly, but I'll never push them on you. Mm-hmm. And I will never look down upon you because yours are different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, this is what I think. You think what you think. We can love you. And there's things that maybe I think are right or wrong, but I try to just love everybody. It's hard to, it would be hard to call me a hypocrite,
mm-hmm.
because I just don't think we're supposed to judge anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore I don't judge people as much as I, you know, sometimes you can't hardly help it, but
yeah.
But at the same time, so that, you know, it's easy to call the pastor a hypocrite who stands up on the pulpit and says, you know, homosexuality is a sin and no one should be doing this and we need to stop doing this. It's ruining our country and it's ruining our faith and we need to push against this and blah blah blah. Say mean things because I've never been one that was extreme. I've seen some that are, you know, we need to pray the gay out of you and blah blah blah, all mm-hmm. that stuff, and talk about that sin. And then you say the same guy is like, oh, he's having an affair with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Or even that guy is literally, he is, if what he's saying is accurate, right, that this is so bad, it's such a horrible sin to be homosexual. Okay, let's concede he's right. It also says not to judge other people and we're supposed to love everyone. So he's literally sinning in the act of talking about sin. And that's hypocrisy built right into the whole message.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's easy to, it's, and that's why I just, like, I haven't been to church in years. I don't have a problem with church. I just haven't found a good one that I like. And I don't conform.
Mm-hmm.
I don't conform. I talk to my kids about God. My kids can tell you, you know, everything I believe about the Bible. And hopefully they come to their beliefs and our faith. But what I teach them all the time is the same thing you teach your kids all the time, with me being, you know, strong and, you know, feeling very strongly about my faith and you being agnostic, is we teach our kids to be kind to people and to love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's the same thing.
It is the same thing. And that's how I've always felt, is it doesn't, the beliefs don't matter. If your core is there, if the principles are there, that's what really pushes a person right through.
And this is my other thing. So you, and this is, you know, and again, it's not my place to put anybody in heaven or hell. It's not my place to judge.
You can put me there either way.
But this is my thing. You don't believe in a God.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe in, you know, Jesus as the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
and all these, and our Savior. I have a hard time believing that the God that I believe in, the way I believe in him, could look at you, the man that I know is one of the kindest, most loving guys that I've ever met, that my God would look at you and be like, sorry, you don't get to, you know, you're not, you know, if there is a heaven, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that is a, you don't get to come in because you didn't believe in me, even though you're a great person. I just don't believe that that's how he operates. And that's why, you know, I don't hang out, you know, I hang out with other, I was going to say I don't hang out with Christians, but I do hang out with a lot of Christians. I just don't talk about them much. And I don't really go to church because I don't, mm-hmm. I don't like how they, a lot of people I know in the faith judge people and how they look at things.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a perfect point. I mean, I think that's it. Is I think that, you know, myself included, we choose people to hang out with based on beliefs. They may not be religious beliefs, but if you have core beliefs that are common, that's who you should be with.
Yeah. If you look around me, the people that I consider my close friends that I'll go out of my way to spend time with, they're kind people. They're loving people. They are loving and respectful with their spouses. Either way is a big one for me. And they put their family first. Like that's just the core. Like if you're not in those categories, I might be friendly with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I might sit down and have a drink with you if we're sitting at the same bar. But I'm not going to go out of my way to spend time with you. It's just, I don't, those things are important to me. Maybe they're simple and basic, but it's really important. I can't stand being out with somebody or a couple where the wife's talking shit about the husband and the husband's talking shit about the wife and they're rude to each other when they're like, I hate it. I can't stand to be around it.
Me either.
It's my year of no, Zach. I say no to people that don't add to my life.
You know, it's been the year of no for everybody, I think.
Right. No going to restaurants, no going on vacation, none of that. Well, since you are one of the people that I'll go out of my way to spend time with, I'm going to end our time together for us today at this moment.
Sounds good.
Thanks for being my friend.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@BobWeavePod.com. If you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.